Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Fantasy Sports Today, FST, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Engel, are taking this hour to talk to you about the headlines, news, and notes, and get you ready for the Week 11 games. Thank you to everybody listening on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, and a number of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're going to get you ready to win your leagues and win that cash. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Engel. Scotty, how you doing on a Wednesday where we finally know one thing definitively, and that's that Le'Veon Bell is not going to play football in the 2018 NFL season?
Doing okay. I have James Conner in this celebrity league that I'm in, and my running backs in that league are Conner, Mixon, and Nick Chubb. So I'm feeling pretty good on a Wednesday morning with that team being 8-2.
That works pretty well for me. Those sound like some stud running backs and running backs that can even hit the bye week concerns. If you lose Chubb, no problem. I got Connor and Mixon to go. There are six teams on bye this week, Scotty. There are the San Francisco 49ers, the Cleveland Browns, and the entire AFC East has a bye this week. But let's not bury the headline. You know, the stare down has finished. Le'Veon Bell is not signing his franchise tender. He is not joining the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's going to be pretty much, although there is still an opportunity, let's say, for the Steelers to transition, tag him, trade him, stuff like that. We just think this marriage has ended. Le'Veon Bell is likely going to hit the open market in March with, you know, one less year of wear and tear than the average 28-year-old running back. What do you think for Le'Veon Bell, and what do you think for the Steelers?
Well, for Le'Veon Bell, you know, he made his decision. Everybody wants to speculate, you know, wildly about why he made this decision and making all that money. We don't make as much money as he does. And, you know, he can afford to take the hit. He's going to make it back, you know, when he hits the open market. There's an outside shot the Steelers can transition him and maybe try to trade him. But that's kind of confusing language to me. Trying to follow all along is crazy. But lesson learned to fantasy players. Stop trying to predict what's going to happen because you just don't know. We saw with the Ezekiel Elliott suspension last year. You don't know how these things are going to work out. If a guy's – usually my rule is if a guy's going to hold out, I don't draft him. And I didn't draft him in Le'Veon Bell in a single league. The only league where I had him is where I share a team with somebody else, and you know he really, really wanted Bell, and you know he pays for the team. I don't. I'm a consultant, and so he made the pick. But then I helped him flip Sony Michel for Le'Veon Bell for Sony Michel. So I try to avoid these situations. I didn't draft Zeke. I did draft Zeke last year when he fell in like the third round. But still, you know, I knew I was taking a risk there, and it depended on what league I am. For the most part, though, I try to avoid these situations, and I don't try to trade into them.
Yep, that makes sense to me. Absolutely. There are people far and wide who literally drafted Le'Veon Bell number one overall in redraft leagues, and he is going to return 0 points for you on the season. Absolutely amazing. For the fantasy impact real quick, we've recommended, Scott, the idea that at this point of the season, once we get through those buys, you really need to handcuff your workhorse studs. One of the other things that have come out of the results of yesterday is that James Conner is now a locked and loaded RB1 workhorse stud. So that being said, who's the handcuff there for Conner owners? Who do they run out and grab this morning?
Jalen Samuels. You know, I've been talking to Roto Experts early this week, you know, in my advanced scout about how he came. He was the one who came in the game when Connor went into the concussion protocol last week and scored his first NFL touchdown. Mike Tomlin's talking him up. Steven Ridley's just on the roster pretty much as a warm body.
Yep, absolutely. So Jalen Samuels, and don't forget, Scotty, remember, at least in some formats and some websites, Jalen Samuels also has tight end eligibility. Do you know, like, how that happened? Was he an H-back in college? Did he play a little tight end in the preseason? Why is he split eligible like this? I have not seen this since all the way back in the day. I believe Marcus Colston, Scott. Yes, back in the day with the same, started off kind of with this kind of dual eligibility. But we don't see this a lot. We talked about maybe
Patterson has dual earning it. Eligibility,
right.
Too. Yeah.
So what,
could
what,
we see this for Theo Riddick if he starts lining up in the slot
a lot? Right. So do you have any read on, though, on how Samuels earned that tight end eligibility? Was he a tight end in college, something like that?
I know Chris Mitchell of Roto Experts listed him as a deep sleeper in his preseason columns. And he
in the preseason,
he was already being listed as a tight end and a running back, et cetera. So that was already pre-existing.
All right. And then the other big news from yesterday, the NFL has decided, because of unsafe field conditions, to move the Monday Night Football game that was set up to be, oh my goodness, maybe the matchup of the year. 2-9-1 teams going at it. Nice game for that audience in Mexico, but it's not going to happen down there in Stadium Azteca. The NFL has moved this game back to Los Angeles, and Vegas responded. The Rams have moved from a 2.5-point favorite to a 3.5-point favorite now that this game is no longer on a neutral field, Scott.
Yeah, it's these teams are going to score a lot of points no matter what field they're on. You know, the line has moved now because, you know, by a half point because the Rams are at home. But, you know, this is good fantasy-wise because, you know, now the players can have a clear head. They can just go ahead and practice where they're going to practice.
Yep, absolutely. That sounds good. Remember, the Rams were already on the run away from the wildfires. They were going to be practicing in Colorado Springs to get used to the altitude. But now they will at least get the ability to sleep in their own bed, you know. Going into this Monday night game that I know a lot of people are excited to see. Scotty, the total for this Monday night game is 63.5. Like, don't you kind of have to bet the over?
I think you have to.
It's crazy, right?
I think you have to. You're thinking like a 38-34 final. You know, the Chiefs, they're better at home on defense, but... You know, you're talking like, what did they give up to Seattle last week?
It's, you know, no one has stopped 30. Either of these teams. No one has stopped either of these teams. 63.5, right? What gets it done is a 33-31 game. That would get it done. Anything above that. Like, if both teams are in the 30s and both teams are averaging, I believe, like 32, 33 points a game, if both teams wind up in the 30s, this is going over. And I'd be interested to see how far this total moves. I would love to see the line movement on this total throughout the week. You know, let me ask it to you this way, Scott. How high would it have to go for you to take the under?
75.
Really? Yeah. If this goes up to 70, you would still take the over?
I'd be daring and I'd do it.
I know.
You know what's interesting
crazy.
To me, though? It's like which one of these defenses can get a stop when they need it? And I think Kansas City is a little better in that regard. And when I'm looking at the teams, like, defense doesn't win championships anymore in terms of a shutdown defense. But I think when it comes down to defense, you get the stop, and you're looking at the Super Bowl teams, which one of the elite teams in either conference can get a defensive stop that you would have confidence in a very key situation? And I got to say, in the NFC, it's probably New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, that is possible. And the way you just framed that, Scotty, makes me really love my dark horse team in the AFC, the Chargers, because you know what can get a stop? Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa putting pressure on the quarterback. That's what can get a stop, in my opinion, when these elite offenses, you know, go after it. Let me ask it to you this way in this Monday Night Football game.
I will say this about the Chargers, though.
Yeah.
One thing about the Chargers, though.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, you know, can't still rule him out. I know they lost to the Titans. You know, they're still going to be there. Ben Roethlisberger has won two Super Bowls. He's a proven winner right there. Patrick Mahomes, you know, we don't know about him. You know, he hasn't failed at all. Phillip Rivers has never shown that he can win the big game, ever.
This is true. This is true. As a Jets fan, I remember them going into San Diego at that point in time and winning. You know, also, that one year they had a chance, but like LaDainian Tomlinson played the AFC Championship game on a torn ACL. Remember that one?
Yep.
Like, so, I mean, they've had their chances, but you're right. But the question is this a different Chargers team? Phillip Rivers is having his best kind of season in his borderline Hall of Fame career. You know, I think he's something at like 20 touchdowns and only four interceptions.
He's a great regular season quarterback.
So we'll see. But if you think about what is, like, what does a team need to potentially disrupt one of these high-flying offenses? I'll go with the pass rushing combination there with the Chargers.
Yeah, if they have Joey Bosa back, but they just lost Melvin Ingram for the year, though. That's going to hurt.
For the year?
I think he's out for the year.
Oh, really? I would love to check that. I did not see that, and that would absolutely.
That's really going to hurt their run defense.
Oh, that absolutely. That in essence means that like they're swapping Joey Bosa out for more Melvin Ingram. You know what I mean? In essence, where the value is having these two studs on either side getting into it. All right.
I'm sorry. It was Denzel Perryman. Not Melvin.
Well, that's not Melvin Ingram.
No,
that's a little bit different.
That's still a significant loss, though.
Sure, it's just not the Pro Bowler that Melvin Ingram is, I digress. Let's get into this next game that I want to talk about. We've talked a little bit already about Packers Seahawks, a little bit already about Panthers Lions, a little bit already about Bengals Ravens with the, you know, changing in coaching staffs and things of that nature, and the looming shadow of Lamar Jackson as the Baltimore Ravens quarterback. We talked about that a little bit. The next game I think is also interesting in the NFC. The Atlanta Falcons host the Dallas Cowboys. Falcons are 3.5-point favorites. Listen, Dallas, you know, starting to see how they want to win. Ezekiel Elliott with 150-plus scrimmage yards and touchdowns. Amari Cooper starting to get involved in the mix. Do you think this Dallas offense is primed to improve over the course of the rest of the season?
It's more solid. It's more balanced now. For the first time in a column this week in the Advanced Scout on rotoexperts.com, I described Amari Cooper as steady. That's a new description. And when he does that, he opens things up for the other pass receivers. None of you can depend on fantasy, but, you know, Allen Hurns could do something in any given week. So could Cole Beasley. So could Michael Gallup. You know, it's pretty much Cooper plus the committee now. And the committee, it improves its outlook. Although you can't depend on them for any of them for fantasy. But from an NFL perspective, it makes sense now. And, you know, also that they can't put the safety in the box like they used to.
Right.
Like Washington just was before the trade. And they got to ride Ezekiel Elliott. It's, you know, Dak Prescott plays well when Ezekiel Elliott's going well. He can't carry the offense by himself. It becomes very bad for Dak Prescott when the running game is not clicking. But now that it is, you know, Dak Prescott's a very viable fantasy QB2 down the stretch in fantasy.
Yep. Let me ask you about these Atlanta side of things. I want to ask you about Calvin Ridley. Listen, he had that stretch kind of weeks, like 2 through 4, let's say, where everybody was so excited about him, specifically that game against New Orleans where he went 7 for 146 and 3 touchdowns. It's kind of calmed down a little bit in the last, month or so, right? There's the one game he had the touchdown against Washington, but these yardage totals are not that impressive. In 4 of his last 5 games, Scotty, 37 yards, 43 yards, 47 yards, 38 yards. He hasn't gotten above 50 in 4 of his last 5 games, but at the same time, the Atlanta Falcons offense, you know, is scoring 34, 38 points. Are you concerned at all about Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, 4 of the last 5 games, only one double figure performance. You know, he had a good one in week 9, and you thought he was coming back around here, but, you know, Ridley, you know, still learning things at the NFL level, and outside of Julio Jones, they spread the ball around a lot. You know, it's Julio, then it could be Austin Hooper is the number 2 guy. You know, Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu gets his occasional contributions.
Only occasionally, though. Only occasionally.
Yeah, only Hall may score every once in a blue moon. So
the running backs are viable in the pass game as well.
Once in a while. Yeah, occasionally.
Just saying, they're adding to the options. There's a lot of options there.
Yeah, it's just he can spread the ball around a lot there. So it's tough to trust anybody but Julio Jones right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Julio doesn't get in the end zone still. You know, it's only two touchdowns this year. It's both on flat passes. So, you know, he can go on another four-game streak where he doesn't score.
Yep, you have Calvin Ridley right now in your in-season rankings, Scotty, as wide receiver number 33. So still in the wide receiver three conversation, but just not as big as he once was.
He was number 16 at one point.
There you go. So that's a big-time drop for Calvin Ridley. Scotty, I want to let people know that if you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports, but you're sick of dealing with the professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool over at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups. Ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account, use the promo code FNTSY. You'll get a 50% deposit bonus. So no more dealing with all that hassle. Just go to mybookie.ag. Use the promo code FNTSY and start using the Props Builder tool so you can earn a little bit of cash. And I know everybody likes that. Scotty, I want to start talking about this next game. Where do I want to go? I want to go to a very intriguing match. The Pittsburgh Steelers go to Jacksonville to take on the Jaguars, okay? Listen, Scott, last year, the Jacksonville Jaguars and their defense were kind of like, you know, I don't want to say kryptonite to Big Ben, but like, you know, Big Ben certainly didn't like them. He had that big five interception performance where afterwards he said maybe he didn't have it anymore. And then they lose to Jacksonville in a playoff game. Don't get me wrong. Pittsburgh scored 40 plus points in that game. If I don't forget correctly, Vance McDonald went like 7 for 116. So they were able to do some things, but the Jacksonville Jaguars are kind of like a bugaboo for Big Ben right now. But the Jaguars are not the same defense that they were last year. You think Big Ben can keep it rolling in Jacksonville?
I don't see why not. It's just like over the last three
because they
or
picked
four
them
weeks,
off five times last every, year.
That was last year, though. It's a different year now. Forget last year. They're not the same team on defense. You know, they haven't been for about the last month. And you know, right now he's coming off a five-touchdown game last week.
Sure is.
You know, Roethlisberger is playing pretty darn well. You know, he's got 9 touchdowns in his last 3 games. He is always capable of that, you know, that one touchdown, 250-yard game. But forget last year. You know, it's that's irrelevant now.
All right. And this year, Ben Roethlisberger, by my count right now, is QB4 in fantasy. And to be quite honest, it's even higher than that because he's done it in 9 games, whereas two of the guys ahead of him, Patty Mahomes and Jared Goff, still have yet to have their bye. So on a per-game basis, Ben Roethlisberger is a top-3 quarterback. We'll talk about this game and some of the other implications when we come back on the other side of the break. It's Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Find us on Twitter, at Spittin' Speeds for me, at Scotty Roto X for the King. We'll give you more analysis on Week 11 when we come back on the other side of the break.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Fantasy Sports Today here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle. We're breaking down the Week 11 games, the lines, the totals, and the implications for fantasy. Scott, on the other side of the break, we were talking about the Pittsburgh-Jacksonville game. I feel like Ricky Vaughn is about to come onto the mound. Forget about the curveball, Ricky. Give him the heater.
This song,
but I digress.
This song has been remade so many times.
Yeah, it's like, true.
I can't count on two hands how many times this song has been covered. I think version was like the Jimi Hendrix version.
Sure. I mean, I will always think about The Wild Thing, Ricky Vaughn, when I hear that movie. Is one of my favorite movies of all time. I was superstitious guy, Scotty. And, you know, I was like all city in high school playing baseball. I played at the college level. I had a superstition where I would watch. Yeah, where I would watch
the last. Who did you play college ball for?
Syracuse.
Nice.
I was a center fielder and a leadoff hitter, thus the name Speeds. But in any event, it's all coming together. It's all coming together. Oh, yeah.
I thought was it that was dude. Speeds just because you talk fast.
Nope. I was that dude where everyone in the ballpark knew I was going, and I went anywhere. I went anyway, and no one was throwing me out. And I was covering a lot of ground out there in center field until the ACL injuries caught up to me. But I digress.
So who was your favorite player growing up? Was it Bernie Williams because of that?
Growing up? It depends on how.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, it depends. Growing up, the way I consider it, my answer was going to be earlier Yankees than Bernie Williams. I was going to say Ricky Henderson was my guy. Right. The snatch catch, the leadoff hitter, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Ricky being Ricky.
The leadoff hitter.
Exactly. But to answer your question, like, as a Yankees fan, my favorite Yankee of all time, a lot of people go with other, you know, guys like Derek Jeter or whatever. Mine is Mariano Rivera. End of story. Pure class. And what that meant when I saw Mariano Rivera, that meant a Yankees win. And so that's my man, Mariano Rivera. There's a reason he was the last man allowed to wear number 42 in Major League Baseball. I'll leave it at that. Let's go to this game, Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. Scotty, we've been talking a lot this morning about name recognition, right? As it related to quarterbacks vis-a-vis Mitchell Trubisky. So let me ask you about this Jacksonville defense, right, that has the name recognition. Saxonville, last year, our best friends forever, Mike Florio and Frank Stanfield, called them the cat scratch fever, stuff like that. Do you then want to take the over on this game, Scott? It's 47.5, but it sounds like you think that maybe these totals for Jacksonville are artificially inflated because this defense is public perception of this defense is different than reality. Would you take the over on this Pittsburgh-Jacksonville game? The line right now stands at 47.5.
Yeah, I could easily take the over on this game. You know, I think Jacksonville can bring up some points, especially with Leonard Fournette back. It's
right.
This is not, like I keep saying, it's not last year.
Mm-hmm. So we got to keep an eye out on that. Big Ben maybe looking to get a little bit of revenge from last year as they go down to Jacksonville this Sunday. Scotty, the next game, the Houston Texans are playing the Washington football team in our nation's capital. Where do I look to for production in Washington? Jamison Crowder, been out for a while. Chris Thompson, been out for a while. There was a guy that called me on Freestyle last night, Scott, and said, you know, I think he said he's 4-6, right? Or 5-5, something like that, like fringe playoffs. And he was like, can I cut Chris Thompson? You know, and I was like, listen, in your situation, absolutely. I was like, if I'm 8-2 or 9-1, I'd hold on to him maybe in PPR settings, but you're in a position at 4-6 or 5-5 where you can't wait for him to come back. You need to run off two or three in a row right effing now. So where's the production coming from in Washington? I mean, no Richardson, no Crowder, Thompson. You know, what is this? Do we believe in Josh Dotson? People are picking up Maurice Harris, for goodness sakes. We know about Reed and Davis and what AP has been doing. But, like, where do we look to for production in Washington?
You don't. This is a team you don't look to for fantasy production.
Right.
It's true. You just don't. If you're desperate, you can go Maurice Harris or Josh Doctson. Adrian Peterson's a flex right now. The tight ends are irrelevant. Pretty much Jordan Reed stayed healthy and been a big disappointment. You know, this team is it's maybe the most mediocre offense in the NFC.
In the NFC, that's interesting. Dallas has upgraded. I would submit maybe Arizona, maybe San Francisco these days.
Arizona's
but I hear you.
Better.
Yeah. All right. What about the Giants? Well, I guess they do.
I'd rather have Nick Mullins guide my offense for potency, you know, right more than Alex Smith, although I think Alex Smith, I'd rather have him as an NFL quarterback.
All right. One thing that we do believe in Washington is their defense, though, Scotty. What do you think is going to happen when Deshaun Watson and the Texans, coming off a bye with Demaryius Thomas, come to town? I have been saying, look, they've been getting some pressure, right, Washington? Can't they wind up with another maybe 5-6 sacks on Deshaun Watson, or do you believe that offensive line has turned the corner?
I don't believe they turned the corner based on one game here. So, you know, Washington could be a sneaky good play.
All right.
You know, right now, they're also fifth against the run, so I'm not going to expect nothing for Lamar Miller either. I mean, nobody gotcha. Else stops DeAndre Hopkins. You know, they do have 25 sacks, but they are ranked 24th in pass defense.
Okay, so talk to me real quick. What should I expect? You know, we know DeAndre Hopkins gets his. What should I expect from Demaryius Thomas and probably the returning Kiki Coutee? How is this going to be split up between those two guys below DeAndre Hopkins, let's say? What kind of roles do you anticipate them playing?
Well, you know, you look at this week, and Washington gives up 270 passing yards per game. So Deshaun Watson, though, you know, could get hit a lot. So I'm probably going to trim that down. I'm expecting about 225 passing yards. I don't think I think Demaryius Thomas could be possession, but I don't expect a lot of upside. And this is Kiki QT's first game back, so I temper my expectations. I don't know if the upside is there for Kiki QT, you know, now with Demaryius Thomas in the picture. Those two guys will be reliable, I think, and QT will score occasionally, but I think the two will hurt each other's fantasy production, and I don't think Demaryius Thomas has a lot of upside.
All right, you have Demaryius Thomas right there at the very end of wide receiver three territory in your current ranks, number 36 in wide receivers, and QT farther down at wide receiver 51. So maybe
for in-season ranks, yes, not line
right on the in-season ranks. Fair enough. The in-season ranks moving forward. So there you have that DT performing, looking like a back end wide receiver three, and QT should not necessarily be started. Tampa Bay goes to our fair city, although it's actually New Jersey at MetLife Stadium. The Bucks and the Giants. Scotty, I can't see either of these teams ever being favored ever again, but the Giants are 2-point favorites here. I don't know. Do we like this matchup against maybe the Tampa Bay pass defense? Might this be an opportunity for even guys like Sterling Shepard or Evan Ingram to get it going?
Yeah, I mean, obviously like Odell Beckham and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
You could consider Eline as a bye week play once again. Sterling Shepard has been inconsistent, but you like him here. Evan Ingram, if you have to use him on a bye because he's now a tight end too, somebody that you consider. And on the other side of the ball, the Giants have the 15th ranked passing defense. You know, they're right middle of the pack right now. You know, they do have 10 interceptions right now. They're one of just a few teams in double figures in that category. So they could be a sneaky defensive start as well, because you know Ryan Fitzpatrick, and even if he gets pulled from Mahomes, both of those guys could turn the ball over. So the Giants could be a sneaky defensive play because it's not just about points allowed. You know, in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback, I don't know if I expect that nearly as much from the Giants. They only have 10 sacks this year, so.
Yep. So let me ask you this.
I read that wrong. They only have 6 interceptions and 10 sacks, so, you know, I was reading that
I was going to ask you about the interceptions. Yeah. Okay, no problem. But, listen, the Tampa Bay quarterbacks will help that number. That's one thing we know, Scotty, is that they will throw it. I wanted to ask you about this. Just wanted to double check. You said even if they pull Fitzpatrick for Mahomes, it's obviously it would be Jameis Winston that they would pull him for. And we're getting reports that, listen, Cutter thought about this briefly. Going back to Winston after Ryan Fitzpatrick's 3 turnovers, we just talked about the Ravens, Scott, and we talked about how if they fall out of contention, they'll go to the kid, Lamar Jackson, right? Is the same true in Tampa? Like, when they're out of it, why continue to ride Fitzpatrick out there as opposed to seeing the same thing? They have to make a decision on the fifth-year option of Jameis Winston coming up. Tell me why it wouldn't be the same exact kind of mindset as Baltimore seeing what they have in the kid. Why wouldn't Tampa go back to their younger quarterback? We know Fitzpatrick is not the long-term answer there.
Yeah, I can't tell you that it won't happen. Well, we talked about it a few weeks ago when they were 3-5, and I said, you know, they're not out of it, that Fitzpatrick gives them the best chance to win. You know, now you have to look towards the future, and you got to give Jameis Winston maybe his final audition in a Tampa Bay uniform and decide whether you're going to move on next season or not.
Right. They got a fifth-year option to decide on. That's a high-leverage decision. The question is, who will be the head coach there helping make that decision? That might be an interesting thing. Like, we're going to see a merry-go-round, I think, with some of these quarterbacks, Scott. You know, like, next year, I'm thinking about guys like Ryan Tannehill, Jameis Winston, Joe Flacco. Like, these are guys that are going to be potentially starters in new uniforms, right? Like, could Ryan Tannehill be the Giants quarterback? Could Jameis Winston be the Jaguars quarterback, you know? Could Joe Flacco be the Bucks quarterback? You know, who knows, right? Like, we're going to start to see some musical chairs with these guys and maybe even people like Teddy Bridgewater, Tyrod, stuff like that, right? We're going to see some musical chairs in quarterback in the offseason.
Yeah, none of them are super appealing names either.
Sure. No, none of them are super appealing, but these could be guys that we've talked about before that could be the quote-unquote bridge to someone that's drafted, right? Like, let's say Miami goes ahead and drafts a first-round quarterback, let's say Will Greer from West Virginia, right? In that scenario, someone like a Joe Flacco could be a perfect bridge for them, you know, and that could be what we see with some of these teams. But I digress. Let's move on to another
look,
game.
Miami hasn't had a good quarterback since Dan Marino, so it's never going to look good.
Yeah, I hear you.
They've been jinxed. They have been cursed.
Is it the curse of Ray Finkel?
It's the curse of Marino.
Right,
they have not enough been able to effectively replace him since he retired. It's like an 18-year curse right now.
Well, listen, the Jets haven't been able to effectively replace Joe Namath for a lot longer than that.
You know what? I was thinking that, but I wasn't going to say it. You know,
okay.
But I've always maintained that Joe made a deal with the devil, you know, that he wins that one Super Bowl and the Jets never win again.
Listen, in that deal, it might have been just more than just winning that Super Bowl. He was high-flying in New York City in a great time to be doing so. With the fur coats and Studio 54, Joe Namath did just fine for himself. Next game, Scotty.
Studio 54 was a little after him.
Studio
54
know.
Was 77. It was like late 70s. It was mid to late 70s.
Yeah.
He was out of New York by then.
Okay, fine.
No, but I'm saying
he was
out of New York by then.
Right, he was in Los Angeles to end his career with the Rams, I believe. But, I mean, like, you know, he was high-flying. I mean, the Jets won that Super Bowl in 69, right? So early 70s, Joe and Mickey Mantle were dominating the back pages in all these clubs. Didn't Joe Namath open his own club at one point in time, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
With
like
Mickey
his celebrity has sustained. But I was just saying that, like, his playing days, he wasn't going to Studio 54. He was hitting some other clubs. Before that, though. It's interesting, though. I remember as a kid when he played for Los Angeles, and now Richard Sherman's in a 49ers uniform. Like, that's kind of like Joe Namath playing for the Rams.
Yeah, it's true. Joe Montana with Kansas City, you know, that sort of thing.
Just Tennessee look
goes
right.
Yep, I hear you. Tennessee goes to Indianapolis. We still got a lot of games to talk about here, Scotty. The Colts are 2-point favorites. Talk to me about this AFC South. You know, we had the regular season wins bet, all that stuff, but, you know, I'm not going back to that. But this division is very interesting. The Texans have run off like 5 or 6 in a row. But, you know, we talked about Jacksonville, how we don't really believe in them. Their defense is a little different. The Tennessee Titans kind of keep on plugging along, getting less respect than they deserve. But don't look now. The Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck has this offense moving. What do you expect in this game, Tennessee-Indianapolis, in what is now an interesting AFC South matchup?
The thing with Tennessee, though, is they can't sustain any momentum for an extended period. Just when you think they're starting to get it, you know, they fall apart. Now, they have the 6th-ranked pass defense. I don't care about that with Andrew Luck right now. To me, I have Andrew Luck ranked 2nd in my in-season quarterback ranks on rotoexperts.com. He's playing that good. And I'm still seeing people saying, I'm worried about Luck. And I'm like, why? It's just, the guy has 6 consecutive games with 3 touchdown passes. He's back playing at an elite level. It's been tremendous. Tennessee has a 6th-ranked pass defense. I don't care about that. You know, Eric Ebron's my top 5 tight end. He's getting in the end zone all the time. He's a top target for Luck near the end zone. He's a must start every week, even with Jack Doyle back. Indianapolis has a 21st-ranked pass defense. Marcus Mariota's playing better lately, so I think he's a good streamer this week if you're missing Tom Brady. or you need to plug somebody else in for any other reasons. You know, in terms of rushing against these teams, you want to see Marlon Mack bounce back after a bad week. But Tennessee's got the 10th ranked pass run defense. They only allow 8.8 yards per game, so it might not be a good week for Mack. On the other side, Indianapolis is much further down the ladder. You know, when you're talking about defense, well, not that far. They're 12th against the run, but I think they'll have a lot of trouble with Deion Lewis. And run Corey Davis out there with some confidence. But he's never been able to have two good games in a row. But still, I can see points being scored in this game.
All right, you mentioned you have Eric Ebron, Scotty, as your number four tight end right now in your in-season rankings at the tight end position. But you also have Jack Doyle as your number 10 tight end in those very same rankings. I've been getting a lot of questions on social media about Ebron and Doyle. It sounds like your official opinion is start them both.
Yeah, you can start them both because the number two and three wide receivers, pass catchers, you can make a case. Is Ebron number one right now? When it comes to touchdowns and standard, yes, he can. Hilton isn't that far ahead of Ebron in overall production at all.
Yeah, I mean, he missed a lot of games.
He's actually behind him. He did, but since he's come back, we haven't seen the classic kind of production, and Luck's having a good year. I still say T.Y.'s the number one. Ebron's number two. Doyle is number three. But Ebron is just getting so many end zone and red zone looks from Luck that Doyle is just not. So you can start Doyle every week because you can have 5 to 7 catches in any game. But when we talk about getting in the end zone, it's all about Ebron. He is the man for them in the red and the green zone.
Yep, absolutely. We only got a minute left before the break. That's enough time to talk about this next game, Oakland Raiders and Arizona Cardinals. Scott, outside of David Johnson, the Arizona defense, are there any other players that should be in starting lineups this week, even with six teams on a bye?
Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald's come back to life recently. Okay. Everybody's talking about David Johnson, but Larry Fitzgerald's played better recently as well. Oakland's 29th ranked pass defense. I think you got to like Fitzgerald this week.
Ricky Seals-Jones had 9 targets last week, 5 catches for 50-some-odd yards as well. With 6 teams on a bye, would you consider him as well, yes or no?
I think you have to.
All right, fair enough. We keep it moving. When we come back, the home stretch on Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and the King, Scott Angle. We're looking at some of these Week 11. Scotty, I can't believe it's Week 11 already. I remember talking to you about preseason Week 3, just like it was yesterday. I remember in preseason Week 3 where the Rams and the Bears didn't play any of their starters, and they were breaking the norms of preseason. Well, a lot of norms have been broken this season, especially as it relates to offensive football. Another game that is going to have a very high total that we still may take the over on is back down in the Dome in the late game. This has got to be America's game of the week. The Eagles travel to the Dome to take on the Saints. The total is 54.5. I want to ask you, Scott, about the newest Philadelphia Eagle, Golden Tate. In my opinion, he wasn't on the field a lot on Sunday night, but that was because maybe he knows the basics of the playbook, but he didn't know the hot routes. He didn't know what to do if Carson Wentz was like, kill, 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 that sort of thing. And when they were trailing and needed to have that kind of 4-minute offense, he just wasn't equipped to be able to be on the field. Will he be this week?
I think so. I think with every passing week, he's going to get more involved in the offense. Now he's had another week to learn the playbook. He really didn't have the benefit of a bye week like Amari Cooper did to learn the offense and just focus on the practices, etc. So good time to buy low on Golden Tate right now. And Philadelphia's got the 20th ranked pass defense. So there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. Got to love Alshon Jeffrey. Maybe Nelson Aguilar could even be a DFS punt this week. Speeds will get another good game from Zach Ertz, et cetera. But I think certainly New Orleans, you know, wants to utilize their running backs. They have a better running game. But, you know, let's see what happens with Josh Adams this week. He's going to get the opportunity, and this will be very telling.
Yeah, Peterson said they do want to get him more touches. You know about the studs on both of these teams, right? You know on the Saints where you're going. Drew Brees having an MVP caliber season. You know about Kamara. You know about Michael Thomas, who is shattering records for early stages of an NFL career, you know, making his uncle Keyshawn proud. Are you taking the over in this game, Scotty? It's 54.5.
Yeah, definitely.
30-27, something like that at least, right?
Yeah, something like that, like 38-31, something like that.
Yep, we'll take the over on this game for sure. You're starting everybody, right? I think the line you draw maybe at Nelson Aguilar, and you know about the Saints, you know about Brees, Kamara, Ingram, and Michael Thomas. You're not, though, getting anybody else involved, right? You're not getting Ben Watson, you're not getting Tre'Quan Smith, and you don't believe in Brandon Marshall right out of the gate either.
No, not using Brandon Marshall. He's not going to be in a roster. I saw somebody in one of my – I think it was our league, like actually – no, one of my dynasty leagues, like somebody spent like 125 out of 1,000. I'm like, you just wasted some money.
If somebody spent $500 in our Greenwich Street Tavern League on Dez Bryant last week.
Yeah, because that's what we keep saying. It's all about name recognition for people. I remember the day before Dez got hurt, somebody asked me on Twitter, said, would you trade Dez Bryant to get David Johnson? I'm a little worried that Dez could blow up. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'd easily make that trade.
Sure. I would not make that trade if I was the David Johnson owner. But, hey, you know, sometimes people out
this
here.
This is not 2012, you know.
Yeah, who knows what some people are thinking. All right, another game that I think is interesting, this time in the AFC West, the Denver Broncos go to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers. Scotty, this is the first time the Chargers have played a home game in their home stadium since the first week of October. Scott, in the last 5 weeks, they've had 3 road games, a bye, and their one quote-unquote home game was in London. All right, so this is the first time that the Chargers are sleeping in their own bed before a game in over a month and a half. They're 7.5-point favorites. 46.5 is the total. I'm telling you right now, Scotty, I'm betting the Chargers until I see them, like, until the streak is broken, let's say. They are hot right now, in my opinion. You know how I've been on them for most of the season, but the Chargers have won 6 in a row, scoring, you know, 20 points in every game, some, you know, 38 points, 29 points. They have one of these balanced offenses you talk about. Phillip Rivers, 21 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and Melvin Gordon also performing as a top 5 running back. I'm all over the Chargers on this one.
Yeah, and then you look at the fact that Denver has a 23rd ranked pass defense. You got to like Rivers, but what receiver can you depend on outside of Keenan Allen? You're taking a risk with Terrell Williams or Mike Williams.
Interesting. Yeah, that was going to kind of be a question for me. I would lean towards Terrell Williams personally, but I hear you that, you know, after
Mike Williams could just be one catch.
Right, right. Or Mike Williams could be 2 touchdowns on deep balls, you know. So it is interesting. Yeah. Do you expect Royce Freeman to return? And if so, does it matter? If so, does it impact the usage of Philip Lindsay?
I expect him to return, but he really hasn't been a factor since week 2. So I don't expect him to be one this week.
Yeah, but what about the impact?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, what about the impact as it relates to Philip Lindsay, though? Like, might it just...
I'm saying it's not a factor. Philip Lindsay, no. Philip Lindsay has been the clear number one running back for this team since week 3.
All right. Fair enough. Last game I want to talk about. We only got a couple of minutes before we turn it over to the morning after with Gabe Morency, our guy, the fantasy executive,
morning
Corey Parson, and of course, the lovely Michelle Serpico, of course. But Sunday Night Football, Scotty, is going to be a big one. in the NFC North. The Minnesota Vikings and the Chicago Bears, these are the two top teams in the NFC. Whoever wins this, in the NFC North, whoever wins this game has the inside track, really, on the NFC North champion and home game in the playoffs. Do we believe this Mitchell Trubisky-led Bears offense continues to be very productive?
It is. Like, Chicago and Minnesota have the second and third ranked run defenses, respectively. But we've seen Minnesota can be burned in the air. They're 11th ranked against the pass. Chicago, it's as far as them against the pass, they're 12th. So they're both middle of the road. But I think that offenses can, they really impose their will on defenses, these days. So I'm not worried about Trubisky. Kirk Cousins has been kind of slumping fantasy-wise recently, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephon Diggs also missed the team's last game. Do you expect him to be back now after the bye?
He said he expects to be back. He said he practiced in full yesterday.
And remember, the last week the Vikings played without Stephon Diggs, that's when Adam Thielen broke his streak of 100-yard games. I know he got banged up a little bit as well, but the return of Stephon Diggs has to mean good things for Adam Thielen too, right?
Yeah, but he still could have went over 100 yards if he didn't get hurt. So, I don't know if we can speculate on that. But, Cousins, even before Diggs got hurt, the last few games haven't been that good.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Listen, we talk about also how tight end is such a wasteland right now. You have Kyle Rudolph all the way down as tight end 18, Scott. And this was a guy who was drafted, kind of in that tier of tight end 7 through 11, let's say. What's up with Kyle Rudolph this year?
It just hasn't been there. The production hasn't been there. It's all about the top two receivers and nobody else. It's like, I remember the GST draft. Me and my buddy Dom were arguing, like, I wanted Jack Doyle.
I remember, I was sitting right next to you.
He wanted Kyle Rudolph. Two rounds after, he takes Kyle Rudolph because he's like, you owe me one. And I'm like, why are we drafting two premier tight ends and I don't even like the second one? So that's sometimes why I hate co-ownership. But we're 8-2, yeah. So it's okay.
Hey, can't be mad at that. You got a win over me last week as well. We'll be back tomorrow, Scott. Have a great fantasy day. We'll talk about Thursday Night Football and more of your ranks tomorrow. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.